This is The Think Tank, talking about the major economic, political, and social issues of the week on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Here's Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell.
Outrage! Outrage, I tell you! A report out this week that 57,000 government employees, now those are government employees, those are the ones that work on whose taxpayer? Oh yeah, your taxpayer dollars, have been placed on some sort of leave. Leave with pay, right?
Yep.
Whether this was to investigate something going on, what there's a litany of reasons why they would be put on leave, but there's a tab for that of people not working, sitting at home, on the couch, eating bonbons, maybe some Cheetos in there as well. The tab for that comes out to a whopping $775 million. That's just in salary alone. Doc O'Neill, this is a travesty.
I knew this would get your juices
going.
How'd I do? Did I get your juices going?
You're on it.
There is a reason for this. It's a tough story. As somebody who's hired hundreds of people over the years, you discover that there are people that you would just as soon not have around who are actually disruptive, whose their being there is a negative. Okay.
Okay.
Do you know how hard it is to fire a federal employee?
A federal employee. Okay, listen. Now, when you said as from someone who's hired hundreds of people, that's in the private sector. That's not in the public sector.
Yes.
So on that side, it's simple. You're fired. Let's move on. Next, please have a line of people out the door ready for your job.
In Arizona, it's fired. In fact, I'll tell you that the first few times I did that, I was shocked. I was afraid to do it. I was afraid I was going to demoralize the whole office. You know, I fired somebody and you know what? People walked in my office. You know what they said?
What?
What took you so long?
See? And then I know you. Now you got a hold of it. You're like, what's today? I got nothing on my schedule. Let's fire someone.
No. It's something you take very, very seriously. You go home, you lose sleep over it. And then you found out that the people, in their cases when you have to do it, they knew it was coming. And sometimes they are even happy about it, believe it.
But federal employees, whole different ballgame.
This is job for life. Now, there's a reason. Let's backtrack. We're going to talk about this a bit. There's a backtrack, and this is sort of in the category of the rest, because I share the outrage. As a taxpayer, I'm as cheap as they come. I don't want to be paying somebody for doing nothing.
Amen.
But let's backtrack. We got to put this in historical context and understand where this came from.
Okay.
Until the 1880s, when you had a new administration, what happened was this was the patronage system. The entire federal workforce got fired, and all new people got brought in who were loyal to the incoming administration. And under that circumstance, it is impossible to maintain a professional organization that has people who are competent to do their job.
I would agree with you.
You're going to get an army of political hacks who are hired because of their political connection. And it reminds me.
And now that's just reserved for the highest ranking officials in our government.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Yes.
Right now. So anyway, they implement the civil service system and you say, no, the professionals in the government are protected by civil service rules, except at the most elite levels, cabinet secretaries, undersecretaries, and all that are appointed. And there's a reason for that. You elected administration to do something. Those are the people who are charged with administering it.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is you still have what you call the kind of the permanent government, the people who are really the people who run the government. And the reason I say they run the government, because every 4 years on January 20th, we get a new administration. It's a few weeks or a few months before these cabinet secretaries get confirmed. You know what happens to the government? It goes on just fine.
Sure. Right. Well, let's we're grading on a curve when we say go on just fine, because when I think government employee, I think DMV. So let's go.
Well,
I was going to use DMV.
Okay, please do. I'll get back to that later, because I wanted to talk about the DMV, because that is a lot of our image. And we've all had that encounter at the DMV.
Yes, sir, we have.
And I think it's a unfair mischaracterization of the whole government. But anyway, so civil service protects you against politically firing people just because they don't work for you, okay? Unfortunately, and it's good, civil service also protects whistleblowers. people who will point out people who aren't doing their job. Take the VA case, for example. The bad side, it protects those who are incompetent or lazy or disruptive, who any sane person would want to get out there. So the problem is, I, as a taxpayer, I would like to fire the incompetents, the lazy, the people who are disruptive. I want to reward and keep the whistleblowers who are pointing out people who are not doing their job. I would like to not have a government run by political hacks, but by professional. So the question is, how do you balance these two? I want to tell you a story of what we have. This is a true story.
Okay.
This is in a federal agency, and there is there's somebody there, and they decide they're going through the process. They're going to get rid of this guy. He's awful. He's one of those that isn't just irrelevant. He's dysfunctional to the point where you want to, if you got to have him in the office, you want to give him a desk in the hallway and just ignore him, because he's and there's no dissensus on this point at all. This guy is just bad news.
Needs
not
to go.
Doing his
right.
Needs to go. They fill out all the paperwork. They go through hearings. They go through evaluations. It takes 2 years. They get final approval. He's on his way out. The last thing the guy does is writes a letter to his senator.
Okay.
The senator, and I'm sure this is done at the staff level, sends the note over to the cabinet secretary in the relevant cabinet agency. And then the response percolates through the bureaucracy, and it's sort of at the level of, can't you take me? Can you make this go away?
Whoa, okay.
Okay.
All right.
And by the time it percolates into the agency, this is a cabinet secretary and a United States senator saying,
right,
make this problem go away. The upshot of which is the guy keeps his job. And what do they say in the agency? They said, you know, the message is very clear. Next time you want to fire somebody, don't bother. It's
wow.
not worth it.
And that's what we see. We see in government agencies all the time. We are always seeing that in government agencies. Like you said, the DMV.
No.
And we have that. And what I want to do is I want to talk about that. I don't want to brush over that. I want to talk about that. I know we're going to get to some Ebola later in the show, but I want to talk about this, because this is important, because we're going to the polls.
Here's the point. We want to fire the lazy. We want to fire the incompetent. We want to keep the whistleblower, and we don't want political hacks.
Okay, we definitely don't want political hacks, but I want to dig into it. I want to dig into it further. I'm not going to let it go. We are going to talk about it next right here on The Think Tank.
You're listening to The Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
Good night, Almighty. We're talking one of my favorite subjects, and that is government waste. It is a little ironical, I would like to say, that Senator Tom Coburn's book came out this week, the Waste Book. Did you get to see that, Don?
I have not.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking
he's
about...
He's a good guy.
Sweet. He's a
yep.
great guy. The fact that he's retiring just makes me want to cry.
I love retire. Well, but on the other hand, if you're going to talk to him, retired politicians are better than politicians.
No, he's better serving us where he is. Trust me. And his Waste Book came out, something about Swedish massages, Frabbits, before they were euthanized in government programs. That's always good to have. I think a nice Swedish massage before we put a rabbit down after they've been experimented on their whole life. Really good idea. That's good government spending right there. And speaking of government spending, before the break, we're talking about a study out. During a 3-year period, more than 50,000 government employees on some sort of administrative leave. Paid administrative leave, costing taxpayers $775 million just in salary alone. Forget benefits, forget pensions, forget taxes. I'm talking just in salary alone, $775 million. Good night, 11.
Let me tell you where I think the cult is. It's not exact. Here's the image we have. Or let me start out by giving you the flip side, okay? This is out of the Arizona Republic 2 or 3 days ago, last week. I'm reading from a newspaper report. Governor Jan Brewer fired Brian McNeil, straight-shooting military man who led the Department of Administration and exposed wrongdoing within her administration.
Okay.
Spokesman said there'll be no further comment because it's personnel. This is a longtime ADOA employee, most recently serving as state human resources director. She was integral in implementing Brewer's personnel reform. Basically, this guy exposed wrongdoing and problems throughout Arizona government.
Sure.
But he is senior staff, and therefore he's not protected.
There you go.
Okay.
Adios.
Here's the problem with the flip side of that is if you make, and nobody disputes, you got the right to fire your top people. But people tend to get fired, not just for incompetent, they tend to get fired when they expose it. Look at what's happened to the people who blew the whistle at the VA. They haven't been fired, but they've been put on.
Look, I don't feel sorry for any of them. No, the people that blew the whistle, by the way, and let's talk about the whistleblower of the VA if you want to bring that up. Dr. Sam Foote did it right. He retired, then he blew the whistle. He's smarter than these people. I'm sorry. If you're going to blow the whistle while you're still collecting a paycheck, you're going to bite the hand that's feeding you? No.
Well,
no.
He may be 60 years old. Maybe he can do that. But if you're 35, you got a family to feed, it's tough.
You keep taking the check.
Let's talk, though, about, by the way, I'm the use of our language in this. When you want to come down on a federal worker, you call him a bureaucrat. OK, that conveys the impression that the mental picture is a lazy, stupid idiot. He's overpaid. He's got a fat pension and he doesn't care. I'm talking about the use of language.
I know.
That conjures up the guy at the DMV that we've all seen.
Amen.
He moves real slow, so slow you can hardly see him move. He doesn't care. And there are people like that in any organization, and they deserve to get fired.
Come on, no. Now listen, the people like that in any organization, I would agree that there are people like that. But when you go to, and let's stay on it then, the DMV. I don't care if you go down to Maricopa Integrated. If you go down to any government office, there are handfuls of them. It's not every one of them, but I would say they're the majority of. I don't want to say it's just, there's plenty of people like that in every org. No,
you know
not
what?
To this extent.
I know you're implying that it's more in government. You ever get customer service from your cell phone company?
Yes, beautiful customer service.
Really?
Absolutely.
Or the old Mountain Bell. Remember that Lily Tomlin had a routine on that. We're the phone company and we don't care.
You're dating yourself, Doc.
I am. I am indeed. I think that the word, again, let's take off the word bureaucrat.
Okay.
Most of the people, especially in the upper levels of government, are highly trained, highly educated professionals who are absolutely dedicated to their mission. These are people who run agencies like the CDC or NIH and other agencies that are dealing with things like Ebola. We'll get to Ebola.
Trust me, we will.
This is especially true of something called the senior executive service. That's when you have been in long enough and you get past civil service status and it gets towards the in-between state where the upper echelon is the political appointees. Senior executive services are people with 20, 30, 40 years in grade who are in there because they know their stuff. They are highly under
highly
competitive.
Or that you just couldn't fire them.
No, you don't get appointed to that. You don't.
Okay.
You never make it to that level. You may keep your job somewhere, but you don't make it to that
level. Makes me want to go apply for a city
These
job.
People report to a board of directors, many of whom I think are near total idiots. Many of these don't have legitimate differences of a policy, but a lot of these people on this board of directors literally wants government to fail because they don't like government. That board of directors is the Congress of the United States. Envision trying to run any private company in this country where half your board wants you to fail. Another story, this is somebody who went up through government, through upper levels of civil service, and he noted there was stuff in the agency. Why are we doing that? That doesn't make any sense. There's no logic to this.
Mm-hmm.
He gets promoted upper level to senior executive service. And all of a sudden, and when he got to the very upper levels of government, pointed out to me, now I understand all of the irrationality. Every single instance that he could think of, it was because somebody, the congressman so-and-so wants this, the chairman of the committee wants this, and we don't cross them our budget.
I would go with you. Okay, I let's just move ahead saying that is fact. That is exactly what it is. I'm not denying your story. I think that's probably happened more than once. But that is zero excuse for the frontliners. It's zero excuse for the people that we see on government contracts sitting around when they're supposed to be paving a road. That's the DMV workers, that these frontline people, forget it. Don't even get me started on the IRS. These are frontline people that for the majority, and that's the reason it's a joke. That's the reason why it's a coast to coast. It's a universal joke, Republican, Democrat, everyone likes to, because it is the majority. What Senator so-and-so wanted is no excuse for that kind of keeping those
employees. No disagreement. I mean, people who aren't, I have no patience for people not doing their job. But I think we can generalize what we see in a clerk's office at some point and overgeneralize to the entirety of government at our peril.
But when you set your expectations properly and those expectations are met more than not, guess what? It's rampant.
Again, I'm with you.
Good.
I want to get rid of those people, but I want to do it without putting in jeopardy people who merely have crossed the line politically.
How about the U word? Is any of this? Now, I know a lot of government contractors now, thank you, President Obama, are mandated union contracts. Mm-hmm. Unions are along the same lines. And I've worked in a union shop for years. My great uncle was the head of the Arizona Tile Setters Union. I understand unions, and I understand how hard it is to fire someone. So why the government sees how hard it is to fire people that don't work, they're going to contract only to people that are impossible to fire. That makes zero sense to me. Zero.
I agree. We got to thread the needle. I want to be able to weed out incompetence and laziness, but not have a system where you get rid of people because of their political leanings.
All right, I agree with that. All right, hey, Shep Smith, believe it or not, Doc's head exploded because something on Fox News made perfect sense, and it has to do with Ebola. We'll play it for you next.
You're listening to The Think Tank on The Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
Ebola hysteria, I tell you. It's an epidemic. It's rampant. Go on Amazon.com right now and buy your bubble. Or your bomb shelter. No, I should calm down. Is
that what you're saying, Doc? Folks.
Okay.
A few facts.
Okay. Oh, but seriously, it's so much more fun when we deal without facts.
Let me give you a few. Heart disease and cancer, over half of all American deaths, over 1 million dead per year between heart disease and cancer.
Well, our heart stops ticking at one point. It gets all of us.
By the way, but 500,000 from heart disease, largely obesity related. By the way, if we want to restrict 44-inch sugary drinks, that's an impingement on our freedom, but we can't do that.
You can't.
Yeah, 500,000 dead.
You should. Okay.
Okay. Flu, 48,000 dead in 2004. We didn't bother to get flu shots.
I got a flu shot.
That was the last. That was the last. Get a flu shot. By the way,
I get
48,000 dead. And now, in years since then, it hasn't been that high. 2004 was a particularly bad year. Medical errors in hospitals, between 44,000 and 98,000 preventable deaths due to oops in the hospital.
Because of bureaucracy.
Okay. 40,000 suicides. 34,000 traffic fatalities. Guns kill 30,000 Americans every year.
No, the people that are holding the guns kill 30,000 Americans. I'm going to challenge you on that. Okay,
but it's 30,000.
Thank you.
Killed by gun, held by a person.
Right.
Okay. Now, you're going to love this one. Killer furniture.
Ha! Okay.
30 Americans get killed every year by furniture that falls over on them.
It's Darwinism.
Okay. Ebola. Not a single American death.
Okay.
One person from West Africa and died on American soil. One hospital in Dallas didn't have decent procedures, and two nurses got caught.
So, and understand this, in the left and right leanings of any show or the center leanings, whatever it is, you have to understand. Fox News is as far right as you can. Fox News is, and same with CNN. By the way, CNN used to be dead middle. When CNN heard the word Ebola, they decided to dedicate every minute of every show to Ebola and how we're all going to die.
I don't think that's politics. I think that's rating. When they had the shows on that plane that went down, they ran it for six weeks, and their ratings shot through the ceiling. I think they saw an economic opportunity.
I agree.
But Fox News, on this one, at least Shep Smith has become the voice of sanity.
Let's talk about some Shep Smith. Here's Shep. Shep Smith actually, and it's absolutely amazing to me. Shep, he has in our, I'm sorry, our audio is just tanking at this time. Hold on, we're gonna get to it. But Shep Smith is a, I would say one of the maybe two voices of reason. Would you agree on Fox News?
Sure, on this one. I don't know who the other one is, but
I would say Cavuto-ish. Cavuto is probably the one that lead the financial guy on Fox News.
Haven't heard it, but Shep Smith did an editorial we're looking for here, and it was just dead on. Basically, calm down.
You need people to calm down, and that's how. That doesn't get you ratings, though. Can we just say that? That definitely doesn't get you ratings. But when you have people like Shep Smith on Fox News, that was, by the way, on this Ebola scare. That well, guess what? You're gonna have people not wanting to talk like Shep Smith.
For the next few minutes, I'm gonna give you the facts on Ebola. It'll take just 3 minutes. But first, today, given what we know, you should have no concerns about Ebola at all. None, I promise. Unless a medical professional has contacted you personally and told you of some sort of exposure, fear not. Do not listen to the hysterical voices on the radio and the television or read the fear-provoking words online. The people who say and write hysterical things are being very irritable.
And I think that's the best word. He didn't say, listen, they're fear. He said, it's what they're doing is irresponsible, because as reporters, as journalists, as broadcasters, as entertainers on the air, which is what we are, you're an expert. Doc O'Neill, this is what I do. They pay me to kind of be snarky funny. So if I am the one yelling fire in a crowded theater,
good analogy,
that's irresponsible. Yeah. And I have said, by the way, over the past few weeks, I have said, I want to, for me and my family, not suggesting anyone else does, I'm just going to err on the side of caution. I'm just going to be vigilant. I'm just going to keep my eye open. That's it. That's all. I'm not going to say you need to go buy a bubble on Amazon. And it's so refreshing to hear someone with a very big, I would say, podium, a big soapbox to stand on, like Shep Smith, saying these words.
And I think that what we ought to be listening to, there are health professionals at the NIH, at the CDC, and they know there's an issue there. I mean, there is an epidemic in one or two countries in West Africa, countries that do not have any semblance of a healthcare system.
Right.
And that's where this is spreading. It has not spread, for example, even to Nigeria, which has a healthcare system. It may not be at our level, but they have fundamental basic sanitation and things like that. And they're next door, and it's not spreading there.
Can I be snarky and just say, I thought our medical system, our healthcare system, was completely broken. That's why we needed Obamacare. Hey, looks, guess what? It's the best in the world.
You guys were saying
it didn't need fixing. It just, because what we got was health insurance reform, not healthcare reform. But Shep, is any of this political?
Now, big picture, and this is important. You have to remember that in the middle of all of this, you have to remember that there is politics in the mix. Mm-hmm. With midterm elections coming, the party in charge needs to appear to be effectively leading. The party out of power needs to show that there is a lack of leadership. So the president has canceled a fundraising trip and is holding meetings, and his political opponents are accusing his administration of poor leadership. For the purpose of this fact dissemination exercise, those matters are immaterial. Again, these are the facts. We do not have an outbreak of Ebola in the United States, nowhere. We do have two healthcare workers who contracted the disease from a dying man. They are isolated. There is no information to suggest that the virus has spread to anyone in the general population in America. Not one person in the general population in the United States.
Now think back to it. We were. Both sides are guilty here. If you're going to slice off pieces of the culpability pie of this freak out nationwide, I'm going to put equal slices in the Democrats' plate and equal slice on the Republicans' plate. Because the administration, from the CDC all the way down, caused a panic. I think they originally said this is something we're not going to... We need to really take seriously, because this is a big deal. We're going to send troops over there. Our own men and women, we're going to put them in harm's way. We're going to send troops over there. Now, that's how serious it is. Mm-hmm. Then the Republicans said, we're all going to die because the Democrats were the ones dragging their feet. Both of them caused this hysteria.
I wouldn't take it on a partisan level. I will blame almost every member of Congress who's spoken out on this issue has fed the fear. I think sending those I think the people that should be directing this, and by and large are the health professionals. And what they have said is, if you want to protect the United States, what you have to do is contain it where it is. There's a country or two in Africa that does not have basic standards of sanitation. And if you want to protect America, what you do, you send those troops over there to keep that there, without which you're going to get an epidemic at a worldwide level. And so I think sending, because I listen to people at CDC and NIH, and they say the way to contain this is to send over people there to develop basic infrastructure in order to contain this disease.
So then why, and this is why part of the culpability pie is on the Democrats, why does the president, is it just pure optics? Does the president, I appoint an Ebola czar. That is the dumbest, absolutely most insane thing I think I've ever heard of. John Kerry, our own Secretary of State, said he had a, did you hear him? He had a grocery list. He had a grocery list. We need 200 flatbed trucks. We need 2,000 so-called soft-skin vehicles. We need, these are all the things we need. Scare, scare, scare. Everybody's freaking out now. We need helicopters. We need this and that. He's part of the Dems. He's just as guilty as the Republicans that were saying, seal the borders. Same thing.
Well, we'll go to break, and then I'll tell you why we need a czar.
Oh, okay. Can you tell me why we need a czar that has zero medical training?
I will.
Cannot wait to hear that, and that's coming up with Doc O'Neill right here on The Think Tank on KT Air News.
You're listening to The Think Tank on The Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
All right, Shep Smith from Fox News apparently being the voice of reason for the United States when it comes to this Ebola outbreak. Everybody panicking, running in the streets, and Shep Smith out of nowhere from Fox News. You know, the guy with the giant iPads that are all over. It looks like an Apple store, like a giant Apple store on his set. He is coming out with some real game. I want to, before we went to break, we were talking about the politics of all of this. And I question Doc O'Neill on why Obama would need to appoint A, an Ebola czar, B, one that has no medical training, and C, let's give him, I don't know, a week to start. Whatever. Yeah. Let me know, please.
There is a meeting in the White House to deal with this issue. Let me tell you who's involved. The Vice President, the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary of Homeland Security, White House Chief of Staff, somebody from Management and Budget, Counselor to the President, National Security Advisor, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, because we got military involved, Representative to the United Nations, because we have international issues involved, Office of Science and Technology, Director of the Center for Disease Control, President of et cetera. Why do you need a czar? Because you've got about 14 agencies of government that are involved, and you got to get somebody playing them all on the same page. You want medical advice, you go to the Center for Disease Control, the National Institute of Health. We have the expertise. The initial problems with this were communication problems. We had a guy come to a hospital in Dallas because the FAA didn't stop.
Sure.
Homeland Security, somebody didn't stop him to getting in. You need medical advice, you bet, but that doesn't mean you need somebody who is a communicator. Now, I don't know this guy. I don't know how good he is, but I know that in terms of something like this, it's essentially a political function, a communications function to get all these people. And by the way, we say the word czar, it completely mischaracterizes what this, you know what this guy's legal authority is? It's zero. Okay, it's a word we use. You know what his power is? His power is when he talks to the director of Homeland Security. His power is that person knows that he can walk into the White House and talk to the president, and that the president has said this Ebola thing is an issue. You are the point person. I want you to make sure that it gets taken care of, no matter what it, you cut across agencies of government.
Okay, and I'm with you. I'm not going to go against you on that because there needs to be a point man.
And that's what he is. Czar is a silly word. The media has picked.
Hold on. And the president is you. And the media didn't do it.
The president's done as well.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so this guy. I'm just saying, and this is what has bothered me with the whole process, is the leadership one. And people, and look, the head of the CDC, he's the leader. That's the head. He's the leader. How many times has he apologized and said we did something wrong? Loads! He's not doing his job, not well. So who we make a point, man, to all the other people that probably aren't doing their job very well, is Biden's former chief of staff? No, I want to hear the vice president of organizational development for Intel. I want to hear, you see what I mean? I want to hear somebody who knows how to take a lot of hands that are stirring the pot and how to get them all to stir in unison. That's what I wanted to see.
Let's hold his feet to the fire in terms of performance. As I said, I don't know the guy. There are people in Washington had a lot of faith. This is certainly a big and important issue. I mean, it's not a crisis. It's not an epidemic. We want to keep it from becoming one. If he's not the person to do this, we're going to have bad outcomes. And we have now one person who can be held responsible, who is in a position where he can marshal the various 14 to 20 agencies that are involved in this.
And it would still take him 2 years to get fired. Come on.
No, it wouldn't. Not this guy. This guy can be out in 20 minutes.
Are we okay? I want you to take your tinfoil hats off for a minute here, because some of you people out there are saying we're being lied to.
Suggestions have been made publicly that leaders and medical professionals may be lying to us. Those suggestions are completely without basis in fact. There is no evidence of any kind of which we at Fox News are aware that leaders have lied about anything regarding Ebola. I report to you with certainty this afternoon that being afraid at all is the wrong thing to do. Being petrified, and that's a quote, is ridiculous. The panic that has tanked the stock market and left people fearful that their children will get sick at school is counterproductive and lacks basis in fact or reason.
And I like that. I don't think Shep is really going after people and telling them you're a bunch of morons for overreacting. That is not what Shep is saying. You go back to his previous clip that I played you in talking about the fact that it's political. The panic, the hysteria was in part by campaigns on both sides of the aisle that are running for re-election right now and either need to disassociate themselves with the Obama administration or want to fight the Obama administration.
And I put the biggest fault on individual congressmen who are grandstanding, proposing stuff, advice that's not medically sound, nor is it medically advisable.
Travel ban was the biggest one.
Yeah, and basically my reaction to that was, well, what do the people at CDC say for that? And what they said is, if you try to seal off the country, and unless you went, first of all, you can't implement a travel ban against Africa because 95% of the people come from Africa, come through Europe. If we want to seal off the country and have no trade or economic relations with any other country on the face of the earth, then maybe we could do it. My guess is that would fail too. In other words, look at the epidemiologist and people who are experts. This is where you go to CDC and you say, all right, how do you stop an epidemic from spreading? And what they said was, you have to stop it where it is, where it's 5,000 cases.
Fine.
If it goes to 5 million cases, we're all dead.
Then that means the president of the United States himself is not listening to the head of the CDC. Very own words were, I'm not opposed to a travel ban. Instead of, period, it won't work. I've had all my people tell me it's not going to work.
I think what he said was, if a travel ban is what it takes to do it.
Oh, I have the audio. He says the words, I am not opposed to a travel ban.
Right. They didn't say I'm going to implement it.
No. Still, if it doesn't work, if your heads are telling you, the doctors, just like you said, are telling you, it will not work. The president of the United States needs to say, it will not work. We're not going to do it. Let's not be silly.
And by the way, I think that involves being open. If the people at the CDC at some point in the future say that some sort of selective or more involved travel ban is what's appropriate, then you listen to that.
They should have called it travel restriction. Travel limits or something like that. Let's go back to Shep and his best advice.
Best advice for you and your family at this moment, get a flu shot.
Yep.
Unlike Ebola, flu is easily transmitted. Flu, along with resulting pneumonia, killed 52,000 Americans last year alone. A flu shot will reduce your chance of getting flu. So get one.
In other words, Shep is saying, hey, a flu is a lot more dangerous to you than Ebola. If you're freaked out about Ebola, you need to be uber freaked out about the flu shot. Don't tell me your flu shot. Did you get your flu shot?
And keep, not yet. But I do everything.
Get it. I already got one. Yeah. And here's
keep an eye on that killer furniture.
Wrap it up.
We don't have an outbreak. We have two sick people from one dying man. And the rest of this should stop because it's not productive. And it's not worth ratings, and it's not worth politics, and we all need to stop it. Because someday there may be a real panic. Someday something may start spreading that they can't control. And then you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to relax and listen to leaders. We're not going to panic when we're supposed to, and we're certainly not going to panic now. We have to stop it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shep Smith, how about that?
Flu shot.
Holy cow.
The other things are measles.
But how good is that? I understand that, and I get that, yep. The vaccinations and stuff like that. But seriously, let's not brush over that.
Yes.
How amazing is that for a man to use that much time of his own show and look everybody right in the eye and say, hey, whoa, chillax a moment here. Everybody pump the brakes and just look at fact. That's awesome. Especially the last thing he said there. He was talking about, look, we can't cry wolf. Don't buy into the people that are crying wolf because someday something bad's going to happen and we all need to stay calm and dance with the one that brought us. We put these people in office. They appointed the right people, so to say, hopefully, and we're going to need to trust that.
That's good advice. And frankly, it applies in a lot of other areas too. We are way 24-hour news cycles give
ISIS,
us a propensity.
Right?
Yeah.
The big ISIS scare, we're all going to die.
As one of our reporters in the outer office said on my way in here, you know, Jody Arias has killed more Americans than ISIS.
Amen to that.
You know,
amen to that. Okay, we talk about ISIS, gun control, all of this stuff. It's hysteria. It's all an effort to rally a base behind votes to keep them where they are in power. I don't know a lot of people that can argue that, Doc.
Too often it is. Calm down, take a deep breath is not bad advice for a whole lot of political issues.
You know, when you say too often, you think about the pattern, and I think you can follow me on this one. You think about the pattern. It happens every about 2 years, doesn't it? right before November? I don't know why. Maybe it's like in September, October is when we have something that everyone needs to freak out about. I wonder why that is.
Quick plug. Old shows. MikeO'Neill.org has them all. Michael J. O'Neill on Twitter. Give a listen if you missed this one or an earlier show. It's available on the web.
All right, but we also need to say the guys that pay our paychecks, too. We need to say KTAR News as well and the Think Tank Show pages available there as well for your podcast. Hey, thanks for spending some time with us. Please take heed what Mr. Shepard Smith said on Fox News. Relax, people. Relax. The flu is more dangerous than Ebola. Don't freak out. Have a good week.